Hudson's got the man bun too. Gracious, gracious. I'd wear a man bun if I could. Do what? Yeah. Little boys. Stay focused. Distractions can destroy. We know in our world there's all kinds of distractions, and you know, me and Mel was talking about this last night, how we're so thankful. She said this, I didn't say it, but she did. How thankful she was that she didn't grow up in the social media generation. I mean, when you have kids in that generation, it's a whole different beast they're having to fight than what we had to fight. And so there are a lot of distractions. We worry about what people say about us. We worry about who doesn't like us. We worry about who unfriends us, right? Who unfollows us. Ooh. And we get all caught up in those things. And, you know, we want to try to keep up with the Joneses and this and this. You know, I've heard people say that most people's Facebook life isn't their real life. They have a Facebook life and a real life. And the Facebook life sometimes is painted to appear that they're all there and got together and woo, they're enjoying life and having a great time and they're this and they're this and they're this. But inside, many of them are very empty and they're crumbling and they're bankrupt and they're lonely and they're afraid. And so I want to talk about staying focused because there's many things that can pull us away. There are many Delilahs in our lives that can rob us of our strength, of our peace, of our joy, of our anointing, of our power. And so we got to be careful about those Delilahs that are out there. And Delilahs come in more forms than a dark-haired, brown Philistine woman. Delilahs can come in many forms. Delilahs can come through unbelief, through doubt, through fear, through discouragement, through oppression, through sickness. I mean, Delilahs can come into our lives to disrupt us to all we see is the storm. That's what happened with Peter. Peter walked on the water, man. I mean, I tell you, I don't crack on Peter none. Have any of you walked on water? Sober or drunk? No. And so I admire Peter for walking on the water. And he's walking on the water and everything is good, but all of a sudden something happens. His mind, natural mind, supersedes his spiritual mind, and he begins to see what's against him more than what's in him. And as the waves and the storm and the wind started to feel, he's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Am I an idiot? I mean, I'm out here. What am I doing? Save me, God, which is the right thing to say as well. And Peter sank. But for a while he walked. But when he lost his focus, when he stopped staying focused on the master is when he began to sink. In our lives, when we focus, stop focusing on the master is when we begin to sink. And I say it many times, the church is a hospital for those that are sick. We've got to change the perception of the church is for those that have it together. No, it's not. And I get so frustrated as a pastor of hearing folks say, I don't go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites and they don't live the way they say. Well, do you live the way you say? Probably not. The church is supposed to be full of people. There is no perfect church because there's no perfect person. There's no perfect preacher, except me, because there's no perfect pastor. And so we have to understand that there is no perfection because we're people and we're all broken our own way. And so, but the first thing people do is they begin to fall out of church when they have problems. I got someone now that's fallen out of church. Text me this morning and pray for me. Why aren't you here? You want me to pray for you? Come to the house of God so we can all pray for you. And I get frustrated with that because that is what the enemy wants to do to distract and derail people out of the body of Christ. You know why? There's power in the body of Christ. There's power in the corporate body of God because we as believers are coming together. You know why they call, when a sports team's playing at home, they call it home field advantage? Because their home crowd is cheering them. And so when a Panther player comes through that tunnel on Sunday and the fireworks are going off and they're introducing the names and they're coming through there with their dance and you got 70,000 people screaming, that motivates them. That makes them realize I'm part of something special. They are for me and that fuel empowers them. Well, spiritually speaking, when we come together, the spiritual fuel empowers us. Man, it encourages us to realize we're here for one cause and one reason. All of us are at church because of one thing. We are here to praise Buddha. No, we're not. We are here to praise Muhammad. No. We are here as the Church of Science. We are here for one reason, church. All of us coming here for one same cause, to praise Jesus. Now, some of you are Carolina fans, yay. Some of you are Duke fans, boo. Some of you are Cowboy fans, boo. You know, each one of us have our thing. Some of you are Democrats. Some of you are Republicans. Some of you are independent. Some of you don't know what you are. Some of you are old. Some of you are young. All of us are different. Some of you drive only foreign cars. Some of you are a Chevy man or a Ford man. You know, we all have our thing. But the one thing we all share in common, we walk in this place, is we are here to lift up Jesus. And that makes us all connected together. And so when we praise Jesus, whether with our hands or our feet or our mouth or, you know, Mindy's tambourine or however she wants to praise Jesus, we are all doing it differently, but for the same cause. So let's stay focused. I want to read what Winston Churchill said. You probably have heard this speech. It's a very short speech he gave to a college group. He said, never give in, never give in. Never, 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 never. If anything, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. What a powerful word that is. Never, 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 never give in unless it is part of your moral compass of honor and your conviction. And so many times, why do teenagers give in? They give in because their eyes get off of Jesus and get onto what's out there. Their eyes drift to the Delilahs of the world. And it looks good, and it smells good, and it tastes good, and it feels good. And so they're drawn to that. And they lose their focus, and they lose their way. And we're seeing in our generation an opioid epidemic like never before. A Salisbury mother, I think it's Roane County. She died. I think she died. Overdosed in front of her child and died. We've got parents shooting needles in their arms while their kids are in the back seat. That's happening here in Statesville. All around. We have a drug epidemic. It is taking lives. It is destroying families. And the reason people are drifting to these things is because they think those things give them what they need. If our focus will stay on the one that gives us all that we need, I am the living water. Drink of me, you'll never thirst again. I am the bread of life. Eat of me, you'll never hunger again. If we would focus on what Jesus can do in our lives, people wouldn't reach out to other things. So we've got to stay focused. Winston Churchill's speech was powerful, to never give up and never give in. And too many times we do give up and we do give in. Let's get to the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read three verses here. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. This is talking about the saints of God that have been there and done that. Now, let's be honest, church. I know we want to be proper and, oh, I love my neighbor more than myself, but let's be real this morning. How many of us, and you got to raise your hands, but I know we all feel this way. How many of you, when someone's going through something bad, really bad and tough, brings you a little bit of comfort? It does. It does me. You know why? Because I'm the only one going through it. You know, we get focused on, you know, our storm. But if we see someone else going through a storm, somehow we like, well, man, look what they're going through. Man, look at their kids, or look at their marriage, or man, they lost their job. Or somehow it gives us human comfort to realize that other people are battling battles and having storms, because all of a sudden we don't feel so alone, or we don't feel like God's mad at us, or we don't feel like that we've done something wrong maybe, because man, if Doc's going through a living hell, you know, I know Doc's a pretty good man, even though he's, you know, got a lot of issues. I know Doc's a pretty good man. And if he's going through stuff, you know, if my grandma's going through stuff, sweet grandma, I mean, you know, if she's going through battles, wow, I mean, you know, that's, it makes us, once again, it connects us to make us common connections. Now, none of us want to admit that because we're the religious type, right? Oh, I don't want grandma to go through no storm. I pray in the name of Jesus that leave her. But back in our mind, we're kind of like, man, you know, I'm not so alone. It's not just me. We all, I think, feel that way. I'm going to be honest, I feel that way. Because it's not that I want people to go through storms, but when they do go through storms, it puts me in check to realize that all of us are going through storms. And so these cloud of witnesses that the Bible is talking about here is talking about those that have been there and done that. We've seen David go through storms. We love David. David's a good man. Did a series on David. Man to God's own heart, great king, you know, love God, serve God, dance before God, trusted God, believe God, serve God. But boy, he had some problems too. I mean, old David turned to being a murderer, a deceiver, an adulterer. But yet, God loved him. We see Moses who killed an innocent man. I mean, murdered him and buried him in the sand. Psh, all forgotten. Nobody gonna find out. People do find out. God used him to deliver people. I mean, God used a murderer to deliver his people out of bondage. So all these cloud of witnesses that went through things, Jonah and Joseph and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all who we read about, it gives us comfort to know they've been there and they've done that. And do you realize that all 12 of the original disciples of Jesus were martyred for their faith? Martyred. We've not been martyred. Yes, there's some persecution. Yes, there's some pressure. And yes, it's harder and harder to be a Christian in this broken generation sometimes. I get that. Because people's thinking, their theology is so... I mean, man, you can't say nothing about nothing to nobody about nothing. They get so mad. I mean, you know, if you say anything, it's either a sexist issue, it's a race issue, it's a political issue, it's a this issue. And we've gotten such a sensitive generation. Now, I'm the first to tell you, and I think all of you feel this way, or I hope you do in this church, that what is happening in Virginia is off the charts wrong. That we have violence erupting and hate erupting. Just as the protests were going on where they were burning down towns through the Black Lives Movement, that was also wrong. You don't burn down your towns and loot stores. This too is just as wrong. Well, we have people that are spewing out hatred and violence just because of the color of the skin. There is no color of the skin in the kingdom of God. Each one of us are born and we are his children regardless of how we look. Each one of us, the way we were born, we can't control whether we're white, whether we're black, whether we're Latino, whether we're Asian, whether we're Native American. Whatever color our skin is, we didn't have a choice about that. We were born that way. And so we better be careful of thinking that we are better because of how we look. It's a very dangerous poison. Now, I understand there are protests that have some validity to them. You make a stand for certain things. I get that. But you can't advocate violence and hatred spewing out the streets. That's why we have to stay focused on Jesus. God is love. The Bible's clear about that. And so we have all these witnesses that went before these people that's all been there and done that. And the Word of God says that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. There are so many things that come into our lives that bind us instead of freeing us. And we have to be very careful that our eyes don't get on those things. There are things that come into our lives. If we're not careful, that's all we focus on. That's all that we see. That's all that we are. We become consumed with it to the point that it paralyzes us. So we got to shake that off. We can't let that happen. I put a comment on Facebook yesterday or a thing that just came out of my spirit that, you know, happiness is attached to happenings. What's happening around us is what we associate happiness with, whereas joy comes from what's happening inside of us. And what's happened inside of us is Jesus. That's happened. He has changed the lives and hearts of humanity forever because of what he done. Jesus happened, and nothing can ever take that away. He happened, and he is still happening in lives today. Every week, every day, every month, every year, until the return, till we are changed, Jesus is happening. And that's where our joy should come from. Our joy shouldn't be attached to, you know, our job or our, you know, possessions or what we have. Our joy should be attached to who we are in him. Church, we are. Think about this. The song we sung, how great is our God. We can call him our God. name above every name, that name that reached down from heaven to earth to touch me and change me and transform me and buy me back from the clutches of sin, which I never could have paid the debt for. But he did. So my eyes are focused on him. He endured the cross. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He's going to finish what he has begun in us. He's going to complete what he started. If he says you will have eternal life, by grannies, we're going to have eternal life. He's going to finish what he has begun. Paul said there is a crown laid up for me, and not just to me, but to all those who love his appearing. So I know that the finish line will be there for me. Whenever my time comes, there'll be a crown waiting on me, just like Paul, like Samson, like David, like Joseph, like Moses. There's a crown waiting on me and on you. That's the end result. So I look to Jesus. I don't look at all this stuff, man, this stuff. I'm telling you, I told you I canceled cable TV months ago, and I have not missed it at all. Now, I still see updates on news and the internet. You can get stories, but, you know, I don't watch all the news I used to watch. I had to pull away from it because I realized, man, this is getting in my spirit, and it's making me mad. And I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be a mad pastor. I don't mean mad as in, I mean mad as in, argh. I don't want to be a mad preacher. And so I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus and realize that nothing that's happening, it ain't, I tell you this all the time, it ain't like God saying, man, Charlottesville, Virginia, how'd I let that happen? Wow, I didn't see that coming. Jeez, I got to get on my game a little bit better. I'm God. Everything happening is happening under the allowance of God. Just as Rodney said, God didn't attack Job. Who attacked Job? Satan attacked Job. It's very clear. Satan went to God and says, you got a man down there who's only serving you because you're good to him. And how many times are we only good to God when he's good to us? I see that all the time as a pastor. 15 years of pastor, and people's lives are successful. They're making money. They're getting promotions. You know, they're great. And then something happens in their life. They're out of church. You know, lose their faith. I mean, are we attached to God because of what he does for us, or are we attached to God because of who he is in us? And so Satan went to God. Let me attack your son. Let me attack your child. Because once I start attacking him, he ain't going to love you no more. God didn't attack him. God just allowed it to happen. You know why? Because the devil even had to ask God permission, because he's over the devil. Name above every name, Lucifer and all of his demons, above every principality, above every power, everything created. That name's above every single name. Every king in the world has to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. He's the full authority. So we know the story of Job. Satan, you know, attacked him, and he went through all these things. But not one time did he curse God. Not one time did he blame God or turn away from God. Now, toward the end, he was getting pretty puny, I think, but I think all of us would. But he kept his integrity, and he kept his character. And then God stepped back in. We know he said he blessed him with twice as much as he had in the beginning. God restored what had been stolen. So Satan does attack us. God doesn't attack us. But God is in control. I believe in a sovereign God. I believe that God is in full control. I do believe that you know, we take care of ourselves and we do the best we can to live this life. But that our time and our appointment is in the hands of God, and only he knows that. And if we could live life knowing, God, you know, there's this thing on Facebook, y'all probably saying the day you're going to die. Have y'all seen that? Don't, man, some of y'all participate in that. That's creepy. Has a thing to say when you're going to die and what you're going to die from on a Facebook thing. Why would you want to know that? Y'all depressed enough? Y'all be doubling up your medication knowing you're going to die next month? Good gosh. I mean, how in the world? I wouldn't want to know that. Me and God's already had a talk about how I want to go home. Yeah, we've already talked about it. We've already worked the deal out. So I told God, I said, Lord, here's how I want to go. Okay, just let you know. I'm putting my request in. You know, I'm getting my reservation way in advance, and I'm getting the way I want to go in there. So anyway, I hope it happens that way. I mean, not anytime soon. Look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Crucifixion, if you don't know this, was one of the most shameful ways to die in that time period. It was shameful. It was a disgraceful way to die. So Jesus took a disgraceful, shameful way to die and took all that shame of that and the sins and shame of us upon himself. And he endured that because he saw what was ahead of him. He saw Bob and Pat. He saw Ginger and Steve. He saw Von Seal. He even saw Doc. He saw all of y'all. And he endured that. He said, because what is coming after this death is much greater than the pain of the moment. And so I will endure this to harvest this. And the world is still coming to the knowledge of Christ every single day. There are countries that are having to have church in secret, in basements, in cellars, in hiding for fear of death. Nations all over the world right now are having to meet secretly to read the Bible because it's outlawed where they live. In church, we are so blessed that we can still openly praise Jesus in this country. He despised the shame. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So when you begin to get weary, think about what Jesus did and the price he paid. Now, Jesus didn't just pay a price for us to go to heaven and be saved, but also there was power in that crucifixion and resurrection. I believe that when we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, that we receive everything needed to get us through this life. We don't receive just a little bit of Jesus. We receive all of them. We receive everything. And so that means that I receive all the joy he gives me, all the peace that he has, all the power, all the authority, all the anointing, all the presence, that everywhere I go, he is there. And that he never leaves me and he never forsakes me, even in my bad times. I receive all of God. So you know what? If I've got all of God, then how can I be wearied in my mind knowing that I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me every single moment of my life? He is there. Now, granted, we don't always walk in that Spirit of God like we should, or walk in that anointing, or maybe we don't feel God. You know, Pastor, I ain't felt God in 2.5 years. God ain't left you. It's just a matter of you making a withdrawal again. It's a matter of you getting alone with God or taking time with God to hear from him again. I promise you his voice has not departed. His ear has not turned deaf. His eyes not turned blind. His feet's not walked away from your life. His hands have not stopped healing. It's a matter of us making another withdrawal saying, Lord, I know you're still there and I need to hear you. I need to see you. But when our focus is on everything else, now, I don't want to say this because I don't want everybody like to unfriend me, okay? I promise I don't stalk. I don't go to anybody's page. I just, when I go on Facebook, I go through my news feed. Whatever's on my news feed, that's what I see. I don't go to Carol's page, wonder what she's doing. Destiny's page, ooh. I don't do that. I'm not a creeper like that. So all I see is my news feed. But I'm going to tell you something. When I see the junk on some of the people's news feeds and the immature, I'm talking about people my age, acting like idiots, putting stuff on there that adds, it tells me a lot about where they're at. That their focus isn't on where it needs to be. Because when our focus is where it needs to be, some of this junk wouldn't even bother us. It wouldn't even affect us. We were in Florida, and we were on the Jungle River Cruise at Magic Kingdom, and it's a boat ride. It takes you around a little thing, and there's like these animals, or fake animals, but the narrator on the boat's a real funny guy, and he cracks jokes the whole time. I would love to have that job. It'd be so fun. But anyway, he cracks jokes all the time. Well, I'm in the back row. Me and Melanie's in the back of the boat. And these two girls, they're probably, what, in their 30s, Melanie? Maybe 40? 30s, probably. Probably early 30s. And the whole ride, they're doing it with their cell phones. Both of them. On the ride. So what do? I get my phone. I'm right beside them. Melanie's like, oh, my God. She's got her head. She's rolling. I'm going, do my lips out and snap a picture. I'm like, you're so into yourself, you can't even enjoy what you're here for. Paid $110 to get in the gate and you're going to take selfies on a boat? Who cares? I mean, you're going to miss the hippopotamus and the monkey talking because you want to see your big lips in a phone. I've got that picture. Oh, he put it up. I was like, oh my. Now, you know how y'all laughed at that? Guess what? It looks as bad on y'all. You just don't realize it. It looks as bad on y'all. And I'm sitting there thinking, these two girls are not focusing on what's ahead of them. They can't get past themselves. Sometimes that's how life is. We can't get past ourselves and what we're going through or what's battling us that we see Jesus and have any victory. Any victory whatsoever. Go to the next scripture. This is found in Philippians 3:14. I press, this is Paul talking, and Paul's in prison writing this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, through all I've been through all I've seen, through all I've done, my goal and my mission and my vision right now is on one thing, pressing toward the prize that I'm going to have in Christ Jesus. There are different translations of this verse, but it all comes down to this. He's saying there's a prize waiting on him, and that's all he's focused on. That's all I'm worried about is the prize. That's all I'm focused on. If you see marathons or runners when they're doing track meets or whatever, and they're running, the one thing they always tell you is never look back to see who's coming up behind you. Keep your head. You know what happens when you look back? There's a slight delay. Just by that small turn, you have delayed maybe by a millisecond to cost you the race. You don't look back. You go full steam ahead, and it is what it is. Your eyes are on the finish line, period. We're going to have a lot of trouble. I know the whole world hates President Trump. I know the whole world's divided. I know everybody's mad at everybody because of everything. But you know what? I am not going to get caught up in that mess, because I am a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. And I have a home that is waiting on me, and my eyes are not here, my eyes are there. And I will not be derailed by the nonsense and ignorance of other people. I mean, church, it's easy to get our, I'm telling you, I know some folks, you may be here today. If you're a Democrat here today, you absolutely would not want to even talk to Republicans. You actually would get angry at them over political choice. We've got to grow up and get beyond that and realize we are family. There you go. Yes. We are family. And I know our kids sometimes grow up different than us, with different ideology and different thinking. And that's okay. Don't mean we're not family. But we've got to grow and get beyond. And the way we get beyond all of this nonsense is we stay focused on the purpose. And that is being a light to the world. I'm telling you something, church. This is why our church has never done bumper stickers. I don't trust y'all out on the roads. Somebody gave me a sign with their hand. They go to your church. That's why y'all ain't got bumper stickers. Just saying. We have to come together as one, realizing that guess what? This may come as a shock to y'all. You ready for this? Let me stand back here, y'all, out of throwing range. God made black people. Yeah. And God made Latinos, and God made Chinese people, and Japanese people, and Vietnamese people, and God made Navajos and Apaches, and God made us Caucasians, us white folk. God made us all. So to hate one another is to hate the design and plan and purpose of God. God created the races. God created the lands. God created the regions. God created the seas. God created everything. So for us to hate someone just by the way they look, how shallow have we become that we immediately block someone out because of the way they look? You know what it comes back to? It comes back to raising. It comes back to how we was raised. It comes back to family tradition. It comes back to what we've been taught. And I understand that everyone has a cultural difference. And for someone to say there's not cultural differences in races, that also is a foolish statement. We know there are cultural differences. but it doesn't mean those differences are wrong. It doesn't mean, I mean, for the redneck up in Love Valley that listens to Hank Williams, row, 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 the big belt buckle and cowboy hat, they're probably not going to like, you know, yeah, or rapper. So I think I don't listen to rap anymore. A current rapper. There you go, 50 Cent. Probably not going to see a horse riding, cowboy boot wearing, listen to 50 Cent. Unless you're weird. But, you know what? That's okay. Remember in high school you had your cliques? You had your rednecks. You had your preps. You had your jocks. You had the people who wore the leather jackets with the zippers. I didn't want to say the name. You had people of different things. And you know what? It's okay. We were all the same. We were all part of the student body. We were all part of the same school. And guess what? A football game came. Guess what? Who was in the stands? Everybody. And we was all cheering for the same team. Go Raiders. North, you rock. You would fist bump your black brother at a football game, but you'd talk about him in the hallway. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? So we have to keep focused on Jesus. Go to the next verse. How do we do this? 2 Corinthians tells us this, verse 10:5. I love this scripture. We are to cast down the imaginations, the thoughts, the things that come against us. Cast every high thing that exalteth itself, that tries to raise itself above the knowledge of God. And we bring those thoughts into the captivity or into the obedience of Christ. We bring those thoughts back and put them under the covering of God. This is why I say all the time, we're living life as Christians. Everything we do, we're really doing it as unto God. You know, I tell married couples that, husbands and wives, you're doing it as unto the Lord, as a married couple. As you treat your spouse, that's how you're treating God. As you treat your children, that's how you're treating God. As you go about your daily business, that's how you should be, you think about how you reflect God. Everything we do, the Bible says, we do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because we should be subject to Him in everything that we do. And so we stay focused by casting those things out of our minds that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And what's happened with so many people, the divisions have taken over, and each one of us have our stand. Church, I'm not saying we all have our morals and we have our stands. There are things I absolutely don't agree with. There's things I don't believe in. There's things that I am against. You know, we had a big movement a few years ago where, you know, we woke up one morning and all 50 states had legalized same-sex marriage. That wasn't right. And I still think it isn't right. And I still think it's not biblical whatsoever that a man lie with a man and a woman lie with a woman. But there's a difference in making a stand of not supporting it and then going out violently to demonstrate it. Because what we're doing, we're discounting the very light we say we carry when we do that. So we still love people. Don't have to accept it. Do your children ever do anything you don't agree? Doc, your kids ever done anything you didn't agree with? Have your kids ever done anything you don't agree with? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Doc has never stopped loving D or David, have you, ever? Never stopped loving them. Even when he was a fool, didn't stop loving them, right? Not saying they were, D. You're welcome. That's your brother, not you. He's not here, I can say that. But it doesn't mean that he stopped loving them because he didn't support what they were doing. Lifestyle, choices, habits, whatever they were doing. It doesn't mean you stop loving them. You keep on loving. The greatest weapon we have as Christians is the love of God that we show others. Church, they can't get away from that. You know, it's easy to get away from hate. Let me ask you this, parents. When you argue with your children, who wins that battle? Nobody. Nobody really wins that battle. Because you get fired up and start saying stuff to your kids, what do they do? Start mouthing back. Then you mouth more than they can mouth at you. Then you get out of control because they're so mad, but you made them mad because of what you said. It goes back. There's nothing that comes from that other than a slamming door and a crappy moment. That's all that comes from that. But when we love people, it's hard to walk away from that. When they look at us and say, you ain't nothing but a big blah, 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 and they cuss us out, and you look at them and say, well, I can't control how you feel about me, but I love you. I mean, what can they do against that? Pretty hard to let the cuss words fly out when you say you love them. That's what the Bible says. That it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. I'm not talking about fake love. Not, some of you might do it to make you mad, you know. Stacy's at work, woman in the cafeteria, you know, she giving her a hard time. And Stacy's like, I just love you. Sarcastic. That don't work. It's got to be real. It's got to be real love. They feel that. And they trust that. And you know what else? They see the Father in that. That's what they see. They see God in that. Is that my last verse? I got one more. Okay, that's what I thought. Stay focused. Keep focused. So much stuff around us trying to poison us, trying to derail us, trying to distract us. God knows what he's doing. Everybody's like, I don't know how much more God's going to allow. Well, we don't either, but the point is, he's allowing it. So we just stay focused until he don't allow it no more. And there'll be a day, church, that trumpet's going to sound for his saints. And we will be apart and away from all of this mess that we're a part of. But don't let the mess you up. Don't let the junk around get inside of you. Stay focused on the kingdom. The Bible says to set your mind, set your affection on things above. And I'm not talking about we walk around as some religious, you know, weirdo. We walk around with this zombie smile all the time. And every time you ask someone how they're doing, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. Are you blessed? I want to just punch them. I mean, let's be real. It's okay not to always be blessed. That's okay. We don't walk around like that, but we walk around not letting the things out there get inside of our hearts. You know what happened to David and Bathsheba? Come on up, Margie, if you would. What happened to David and Bathsheba? It wasn't that I don't believe David went out one night on the porch and saw Bathsheba the very first night and says, woohoo, I want that. Go get her, boys. I think it was a process for David. I think he went out one night and saw her. Interesting. Went on back in, just slept with his wife, cocky minds, all that. Think about her, though. Went back out a second time, saw her again. Oh, there she is. Oh, there's that woman again. You know, I could sleep with her, but I think it was a process. I think he allowed it into his heart. He lost focus of the King of Kings and got his eyes on something that wasn't his. And then before he knew it, what was in his heart had him. And then it went deeper and deeper and deeper. It's what sin does. That's when we lose focus. What happens? We get deeper and deeper and deeper. But you're not too deep to get out. That's the good news. You're not too far down to be raised back up. The power of God can do anything in your life. Let's stay focused on him. Stay away if you would. Go ahead and sing what you're going to sing, Marjorie. That are tearing us away from you right now, for the distractions that are pulling us away from the joy and peace that we have in you. I bind those distractions right now in the name of Jesus. That those distractions, that those storms, those giants will fall and give way to your presence right now and to your power, Lord. That we will walk out of this sanctuary today with a new hope, a new confidence, a new way of looking at life. That we will stay focused, God, on you, on your word, on your presence, on your truth. That we will not let what's happening around us poison us inside, but that we will stay faithful. We will love each other. We will not get involved in distracting others, but we will be a voice of reason, a voice of love, a voice of hope, a voice of truth to those around us. Fill our hearts, God, with your grace and love. And Lord, I pray if there is bitterness in any of our hearts today, if there's bitterness, if there's prejudice, if there's hate, if there's anger, whatever is in our hearts today that is holding us back, I pray your healing hand of mercy flood this place and heal our hearts and restore our lives, that we will walk in the fullness of the love to others that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, God, lift it off of us and fill us with your healing power, and we give you praise for it in your precious name. Amen and amen. Sing a morning.